Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The United States has become the evil empire, where a massive propaganda apparatus, nominally private, works in conjunction with history's most technologically advanced police and security state to rig elections, crush all dissent, and destroy the lives of any who oppose the group, which sits at the apex of power, the world's wealthiest and most powerful group, organized Jewry. When a few angry and totally disorganized and disunited protesters walk into the United States Capitol to petition the Congress for a redress of grievances after a blatantly stolen election, the system grabs the opportunity and calls the protest a coup attempt and an insurrection in order to demonize, criminalize, isolate, destroy, imprison, or kill all opposition to their rule. The nominal leaders we see on our television sets are not the real leaders. The quote-unquote opposed parties are really united on everything that matters to the real rulers. Replacing whites with non-whites, concentrating wealth in the hands of Jews and their treasonous allies, the megacorporations that now decide who may speak and what they may say in the new red square of electronic and internet media. Yet millions, millions of white Americans now know that we will not be allowed to vote our way out. We will not be allowed to petition or protest our way out of our encirclement, slavery, dispossession, and ultimate genocide. In fact, we will not be allowed to tread one inch outside whatever limits our masters have set this week on pain of having our income canceled, our freedom curtailed, our right to speak or hold a job, and soon likely even use currency at all, taken away. These millions who now know these things, or most of these things, did not know them just a few weeks ago. It is our job in the National Alliance to explain these things to them in depth, so they truly understand what is being done to them and to their families. It is our job to recruit the best and brightest among them to our alliance so we grow stronger. And it is our job to offer guidance and light in this darkening land. Very few men in history have been as qualified to give us the guidance we need as Dr. William Luther Pierce, the founder of the National Alliance. This week, I begin a series I call Moving Forward in a Dark Time, Guidance from William Pierce. This program is part one of that series, which will air over our next few American Dissident Voices programs. It is based on several works by Dr. Pierce, none of which have been offered in audio form before. Listen. In the year which lies ahead of us, we must accomplish many things. let me review the situation in which we find ourselves and the way we have responded to that situation so far. Perhaps the easiest way to begin is to refer to the film we saw here last Sunday, Triumph of the Will. That film showed us the triumphant outcome of an enormous and heroic act of will by an idealistic, spiritually elite minority of the German people to free themselves from Jewish tyranny and cure themselves of the Jewish disease. After World War I, the Jews had Germany exactly where they wanted her. She was defeated, demoralized, broke, and hungry. In other words, down. And so the Jews began kicking her. They launched a successful communist revolution in Bavaria under Kurt Eisner. All over Germany, they began acquiring the newspapers that were not already in their hands. And as the economy collapsed, they took over more and more German businesses, homes, farms, shops, and factories. They slandered the German fighting men who had made such an heroic sacrifice at the front, much in the same way they have incited the spoiled and mindless dregs of our own population here in the United States against all that is healthy and strong. And everywhere they spread the infection of liberalism, promoting every form of vice and degeneracy in the name of freedom. Homosexuality, drugs, prostitution, pornography, Negro music, degenerate art, all these things were pushed in Berlin and in the other major German cities to such an extent that Jews and liberals today still look back fondly on the decadence that they generated in the so-called Weimar Republic, which was Germany in the period from 1919 to 1933. But the German people still had a strong and healthy minority among them, which did not succumb to the Jewish poison. They defied the law. They defied the Jews and traitors who had taken over their country, and they secretly acquired weapons, and they trained themselves, and they fought the criminals who were destroying their people. Jews like Eisner and Rathenau, they shot down on the street like the dogs they were. One of the top communists, a Jewess named Rosa Luxemburg, got her brains smashed out with a rifle butt and her corpse thrown into a canal. And Hitler and the people who worked with him built a fighting movement which eventually won the support of the great masses of the German people. And they took Germany away from the Jews and the liberals. What we saw last week was the outcome of a 14-year struggle and the beginning of the building of a new German society, a strong, vital, healthy German society with the same spiritual basis that we in the Alliance have today. In achieving his victory, in his 14-year struggle against the Jews and their allies, Hitler did not compromise or equivocate. He did not pretend to be a conservative or a right-winger. He did not have any clever plan for sneaking up on the Jews from behind. He fought them openly and straightforwardly. He denounced them for the destructive parasites and the liars that they were. He announced that he intended to free his people from their influence, and he did it. Now, what he did in Germany inspires all of us, I am sure. There are few, if any, episodes in human history more beautiful and heroic than that which took place in Germany in the years 1919 to 1945. The rise and triumph of National Socialism. That is why the film Triumph of the Will has such a powerful effect on all of us. And we can learn many things from a study of the struggle of Germany. But there are also some very significant differences between the German situation and ours today. For one thing, the Germans, even in the most degenerate years of the Weimar era, never sank to the moral and spiritual depths to which Americans have sunk today. The Jews did not have television or big tech in those days, and so they were not able to enforce the rigid conformity in public opinion in Germany that they are able to enforce in America. The Germans had a long and proud tradition of resistance to alien influences, which we simply do not have here. And the Germans did not have some 100 million or so blacks, mulattoes, quadroons, mestizos, Middle Easterners, Far Easterners, and every other kind of non-white or half-white or three-quarters white mongrel imaginable in their midst. They were all white, and they had only one enemy in their midst to focus on. Well, despite the great physical and moral differences between the two situations, we have so far begun our struggle here in much the same way the Germans began theirs, that is, by openly and straightforwardly exposing and attacking the Jews and the race traitors who are destroying America. We have never equivocated or compromised. We have said as loudly and plainly as we know how what is wrong here and what needs to be done about it. But we are not receiving from the American people the sort of response that the German National Socialists received from theirs. We are growing too slowly, and that is very dangerous. We are not recruiting new members anywhere near fast enough. We are not building our audience fast enough. We are not increasing our resources fast enough to ensure that we will be able to become truly viable before it becomes too late. We must strive to reach a point beyond which the long-term survival of our alliance, of our spiritual community, and of the truth which it embodies can be assured no matter what happens, no matter how bad conditions become or what form of repression the enemy tries against us. We must cross that threshold before the Jews head us off at the pass, so to speak. So that means that even though we are holding our own now, even though we could continue publishing our printed membership bulletin and publishing National Vanguard and holding our meetings indefinitely, we must do something else. We must reach the pass before the Jews do. The question is, how? How do we grow faster than we are growing now? I have thought long and hard about this question, and I have listened to many suggestions from our members, both here and around the country. I have been able to find only two possible answers. The first answer would be to physically attack our enemies. But in today's increasingly militarized police and surveillance and security state, we are not strong enough to do that with any hope of winning the battle, the war, or many hearts and minds, so ineffective would we be. So that would be a total non-starter, no matter how good it might feel to finally engage our enemies in the war they have started against us. Anything we do must be planned as carefully as it can be to fit into a strategy for reaching our goals. In this case, for crossing our threshold of viability. And I am convinced that violence now would not help us reach that threshold. And that is simply because the situation here is so different from what it was in Germany, in terms of the attitude of the public and the sort of reaction we could expect. We certainly do not want to go out in a blaze of glory. We want to be here in a decade, in a century, in 10,000 years. The issue at stake is far too important for futile gestures. So, if we rule out that answer for now, we must turn instead to the second one, and that is to place more emphasis on building our foundations than we have in the past. That means a shifting of emphasis from attacking the enemy to teaching, preaching, and developing our resources for recruiting. It means less emphasis on the negative, less emphasis on immediate problems and provocations, and more emphasis on the positive, on our long-range goal of striving toward godhood. That may seem contradictory, since the thing we must do is achieve our short-range goal of crossing the threshold of viability, and we must do that as soon as possible, which means we must grow faster than we are growing now. And when one is faced with an urgent problem, an acute problem, one's natural tendency is to lower one's sights, forget about longer-range problems, and concentrate all one's energy on immediate things. What are we going to do about Biden? Is the important question to the short-range thinker. But what are we going to do to ensure our race exists and progresses eternally? Is the important question for us. Of course, the provocations the enemy presents us with almost daily are very hard to ignore. To allow the people who write the lies in the Washington Post to go unpunished, to fail to take action against the degenerates who promote racial mixing and perversion on the television networks seems dishonorable. When one sees a racially mixed couple in public, one feels a moral obligation to do something. It is a national disgrace that Biden was not in the dock for treason 25 years ago, and that Harris is in this country at all. Even if one doesn't take some physical action in these cases, one feels compelled to shout out one's feelings to the public, to expose and condemn the malice and the greed and the foolishness which is destroying our race. One feels compelled to warn the people over and over again. One feels that one must challenge a situation in which everything rotten and degenerate is held up to praise, and everything right and good and noble is condemned. But that is exactly what we have been spending most of our time and energy doing until now. And regardless of how commendable or how justified such activity may be, it is not getting the job done well enough or fast enough. A deeper and more fundamental approach is needed. We need to get to the point where cosmotheist thinkers can command the resources and allegiance of 100,000 tithing National Alliance and cosmotheist church families, perhaps 500,000 people. Then we can launch sustained campaigns of every kind, which can be maintained in the face of all the repressive power the enemy can bring to bear against us. This is doable in the next few years if we all, including every one of you who reads National Vanguard, do our parts. Half that number are already reading National Vanguard, but too few have felt the necessity to act responsibly and put their whole lives into supporting and funding and helping us. That's what needs to happen. Under the crypto-communism of big tech and Biden, and in the aftershock of Trump's failures, it's more likely to happen now than at any time in our lives. One reason it hasn't happened yet is fear. And we'll talk about overcoming that fear on our next program.